Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 6, 2019. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures are higher ahead of the August jobs report.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell speaks on the economy in Zurich.
Germany is hit with more disappointing economic news.
And Boris Johnson's opponents want to hold a U.K. election in late October.
Hurricane Dorian continues its march on the Carolinas. Plus, longtime Zimbabwe leader Robert Mugabe has died. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The first NFL game of the season, a low-scoring affair. The Packers won in Chicago. Serena Williams is advanced to the finals of the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning ahead of the August jobs report. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are higher, up 6 points. Dow futures up 58. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 1.59%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1%, down 6 cents to $56.24 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6%, or $9 to $15.1650 an ounce. The euro, 1.1039 against the dollar, and the yen at 107.05. Nathan.
Karen, the countdown is underway. In just about 3.5 hours, we get the August jobs report. Economists forecast a gain of 160,000 jobs, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee in the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
A Fed rate cut in September is taken as a given, so policymakers, investors, and economists will be looking at the August jobs data with an eye toward what may happen in the months ahead. The latest numbers give conflicting signals. ADP showed the most jobs added in 4 months, and jobless claims remain very low, but the Institute for Supply Management's measures of manufacturing and service industry employment fell. And so, while job creation around consensus would be reassuring, officials will also be scrutinizing the underlying data. Are companies cutting back on hours an early sign of difficulties? Are earnings still rising to provide support for consumer spending? In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. And we have live coverage of the jobs report again at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We'll bring in J.P. Morgan's Jim Glassman and BlackRock's Jeffrey Rosenberg. And at 9:45 Wall Street time, we speak live with White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow on both Bloomberg Radio and Television.
About 4 hours after that report, Wall Street will get another highly anticipated event. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell speaks on the economy in Zurich. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The focus of his remarks will be on the economic outlook and monetary policy. Powell will hold a discussion with Swiss National Bank Chief Thomas Jordan at an event hosted by the Swiss Institute of International Studies at the University of Zurich. The Federal Reserve is expected to cut interest rates again at its meeting this month amid slowing global growth stemming from President Trump's ongoing trade battles. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And you can catch Powell's speech on both Bloomberg Radio and television at 12:30 p.m. Wall Street time.
The founder of the world's largest hedge fund says there's about a 25% chance of a recession in the U.S. this year and in 2020. Bridgewater Associates founder Ray Dalio spoke with David Rubenstein on his show Peer-to-Peer Conversations.
A recession, you know, it's two negative quarters of GDP, and we're going to be hovering, I think, fairly close to that level, and there's a certain variation around it. But the bigger things are a combination of the absence of effectiveness of central bank policies together with the wealth gap.
And the Fed's rate decision comes September 18th. And by the way, you can catch the David Rubenstein Show Peer-to-Peer Conversations on Bloomberg Television Wednesday nights at 9 Eastern and on Bloomberg Radio at 5 p.m.
More disappointing economic news out of Germany. Richard Jones is an FX and rate strategist with the Bloomberg Markets Live team in Berlin.
Industrial production fell 0.6% in July versus an expected gain. This was the second day in a row that we've had weak data out of Germany. Yesterday's factory orders were weaker than expected as well. These data points will certainly embolden the doves at next week's ECB meeting. The more data we see like this will also intensify the domestic debate here in Berlin about the need for fiscal stimulus. Markets are growing accustomed to weaker German data prints. How the ECB responds next week will be the key for the direction of the euro currency and the euro area yields.
And that ECB decision will be next Thursday.
With more trouble for UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, let's get the latest live from London and Bloomberg's Roger Hearing. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The Prime Minister can't control what happens next in the Brexit drama. He wants an election that he's sure would reset Parliament to reflect what he sees as the will of the British people, to leave the EU by October the 31st, deal or no deal. And he'd like that election on October the 15th, so that he can repeal the law that now ties him into requesting a further delay in that Brexit departure. But the opposition can prevent him getting the necessary two-thirds of MPs to trigger the election. They seem now to favour October the 29th, which would make a Brexit delay inevitable. In London, this is Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Radio.
Roger, thank you. Asian stocks rose on the back of the positive lead-in from Wall Street, with the MSCI Asia-Pacific Index notching up its best weekly gain since June. And we get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Hong Kong stocks were higher, but the Hong Kong dollar fell after a downgrade from Fitch, the ratings agency lowering Hong Kong to AA from AA with a negative outlook due to the ongoing protests. The last time Fitch downgraded Hong Kong was in 1995, before the handover to China. Citi also cut its 2019 and 2020 growth forecasts for Hong Kong for a fourth time, citing the, quote, already visible damage to retail and tourism sectors due to the protests. Citi also cutting its profit forecast for the Hong Kong cosmetic company Sasa, citing the unrest. And the bond sell-off continued into the Asian session, with the yield on Australia's 10-year note rising back above 1% for the first time in a month. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. And Lululemon is still avoiding the weakness that has battered other retailers in North America. The yoga wear maker raised its annual forecast again and posted another quarter of brisk sales growth. Lululemon's beat earnings estimates for 10 quarters in a row, and the stock rose 4% in late trading. S&P futures are higher right now by 7 points. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures up 16. This is Bloomberg. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to check the latest world and national news on this Friday morning with Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Hurricane Dorian is battering the coast of North Carolina, where it may briefly make landfall with fierce winds and driving rains. The Category 1 storm marching up the U.S. East Coast is by Cape Lookout, North Carolina. Bloomberg's Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, as Hurricane Dorian's moved northeasterly and started to accelerate, it's also started to weaken. It's going to be affecting eastern North Carolina, particularly the Outer Banks, this morning and into the early afternoon, with hurricane-force winds at times and some very heavy rainfall. Then the system will accelerate tonight, passing south of New England a late Friday night or early Saturday morning. Cape Cod and the islands are under a tropical storm warning, and we may see some strong winds, particularly across Nantucket overnight as the system goes by. Nantucket also has the best chance of seeing rain in excess of 3 inches. Weather conditions will improve tomorrow, though, as the storm heads up into Atlantic Canada. Michael?
Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Meanwhile, in the Bahamas, the death toll has climbed to 30, with many remaining missing. Relief workers on the ground in the Bahamas say the U.S. needs to speed up evacuations of Americans in hard-hit areas. Global Empowerment Mission Group founder Michael Capone says he's been helping people fly out of Treasure Cay and delivering medicine there.
Treasure Cay right now is basically, it's an evacuation site. There's not one single house that's got a roof on it.
Robert Mugabe, who ruled Zimbabwe for 37 years and plunged the southern African nation into political and economic chaos as he violently clung to power, has died. Mugabe, who led an independence war that ended white minority rule, finally resigned in November of 2017 after the military seized control of the country and his own party threatened to impeach him. Mugabe was 95. The list of stores telling customers not to wear firearms into their establishments in open carry states is growing. Drug chains CVS and Walgreens, as well as grocery chain Wegmans, have joined other retailers in the move. It follows Walmart and Kroger from earlier this week. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the last game of last season was the Super Bowl. There was only one touchdown scored when New England beat the Rams. First game of this season, the 100th NFL season, another game with only one touchdown. An Aaron Rodgers touchdown pass in the first half. The Packers beat the Bears in Chicago 10-3. Defenses took over, both teams with five sacks, and Green Bay sealed the win with a late interception of the Bears' Mitchell Trubisky. Jets and Giants get going on Sunday. Jets have a new coach, Adam Gase. They'll open up at home against Buffalo. Giants will be in Dallas with Eli Manning, once again, the starting quarterback.
Yeah, you know, they got a number of good players. I think they play very fast. It's a fast defense. They run to the ball. They're very disciplined in their assignments and in their technique. And so, you know, we just have to be, but it's a team. They got good players all around. And so we just got to know their scheme, have answers for their certain looks, and just execute our game plan.
We'll see if Eli finishes the season as the starting QB. Of course, the Giants drafted Daniel Jones with the sixth pick. Cowboys will have Zeke Elliott. He ended his holdout just the other day. At the U.S. Open, Serena Williams with another easy victory. She's into the finals. She'll play the 19-year-old Canadian, Bianca Andreescu. She took out Belinda Bencic in the other semifinal match. Mets and Yankees were off. Mets home tonight for the Phillies, while the Yankees begin a four-game series in Boston, the start of a 10-game road trip. Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. As the U.S. Open winds down, we speak with the man who oversees the broadcasts and sponsorships on the growth of tennis, Chief Revenue Officer for the USTA, Lou Scherr. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or anytime, whenever you get your podcasts. Head of the Open, futures are higher. S&P futures up 7.5 points. Dow futures higher by 65. NASDAQ futures up almost 16 points ahead of the release of the August jobs report at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We will get a preview of what the Labor Department could report and what it could mean for the Fed's rate decision. Straight ahead, we'll be speaking with Wells Fargo senior economist Mark Vintner. Stay with us for that. This is Bloomberg. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are climbing along with Asian shares. European stocks, they're higher as well. This all ahead of the U.S. jobs report and remarks by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 10 points. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures up 23. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds. Yield 1.59%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.1% or 8 cents at $56.22 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $11 to $15.14.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1035 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2295. And the yen is at 107.04. And the August jobs report at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Hurricane Dorian is making its way up the East Coast. Over 10 inches of rain fell in parts of North and South Carolina. At least 4 deaths are blamed on the storm in the U.S. Robert Mugabe, the longtime leader of Zimbabwe, who was forced to resign in 2017 after a military takeover, has died at 95. In the NFL season opener, the Packers beat the Bears 10-3. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Serena Williams is once again on the verge of her record-tying 24th Grand Slam title. Williams will face Canadian Bianca Andreescu in the women's final. In baseball, the Red Sox, Orioles, and Giants all lost. The A's won. The Yankees and Mets were off. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks very much. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. On this Jobs Friday, we welcome in once again Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Always good to have you with us, Mark. The consensus, I think, is for another solid jobs print on the headline number, at least. What are you going to be looking for behind the numbers to know whether the labor market is still healthy?
Well, I think it's going to be real important to zero in on the private numbers. I mean, we could see a spike in census hiring. That would show up as temporary workers, and it would show up under federal government. And in August, it's always tricky as to how the BLS handles the start of the school year. And it seems to start earlier and earlier. And the survey week came a little late. We had three full weeks of August in the number. So, you know, we could see a spike in government number in government jobs. But the private sector looks like a private sector hiring really looks like it slowed during the month of August. Our overall number is 137,000. The private sector number might be as low as 110.
At the same time, we did hear from ADP Research yesterday. They their survey added 195,000 jobs. Is that sort of an outlier for you?
Yeah, ADP is really good over time. I think the trends are fairly consistent, and I don't think that anything is seriously broken in the hiring process, but we did see a number of job indicators slow. And I think the uncertainty really spiked during the summer. And I think a lot of businesses simply may have just put off filling a vacant position for a few weeks. We certainly think employment growth is going to hold up for the rest of the year. But this number is likely to be a little soft. And there's volatility. I mean, you typically get a rogue number going into the summer and coming out of the summer. You know, sometimes it's in August, sometimes it's in September. So I think that, you know, we're due to get something strange, and it's probably going to be on the downside.
Are you looking for some of that softness, particularly in manufacturing, given some of the headwinds we've seen in the trade war of late?
Well, manufacturing certainly has cooled off. And if you look at the JOLTS data, there's still about 400,000 job openings in the manufacturing sector. So certainly that they're looking for workers. But given all the uncertainty, the slowdown that we've seen in export orders, the slowdown that we've seen in domestic capital orders, you would think that there'd be some pullback in hiring. That's what the ISM index suggested. And even in the non-manufacturing sector, the ISM non-manufacturing employment index weakened a little bit, even though the overall number was pretty strong yesterday.
So if the job market is as soft as you suggest, does that bolster the case even further for the Federal Reserve to make perhaps an even deeper cut than the market might be pricing in right now?
Well, it would give them room to. I really doubt that they would waste the few basis points they have to work with on going 50 in September. I think that they probably go another quarter. They cut rates at the next meeting, but that they indicate that they're prepared to do more. And I don't know if that means they do it in October or they wait till later in the year because the next Fed meeting is for quite some time. But I certainly think that they've got two cuts. There are two cuts right ahead of us, one in September and one in the fall. And I think there's still a good chance they do another cut after that, maybe in early 2020.
So are you thinking then that the Fed is running out of room to use monetary policy to bolster the economy, even with the cuts that might be coming down the road here?
No, I just think that they have to use what basis points they have left in the funds rate very judiciously. They would not like to they'd like to avoid taking the funds rate down to zero unless the economy was actually going into recession. And I think that there's a very good chance that if they cut rates and they get through this rough patch, that the economy will probably pick back up again. And so maybe they'll be able to take some of that back. And that's what they've done in the past when we've gone through a rough patch or what we used to call a growth recession, where growth slowed below the potential rate, the unemployment rate stalled out or even rose a couple of ticks. You know, they've cut rates and then they've been able to take them back up again. That would be an ideal scenario. Of course, they probably wouldn't reverse course until 2021 or later.
Only a few seconds left here, maybe about 30 seconds or so. But what's your forecast for recession? I mean, we heard from Ray Dalio this week saying that there's a 25% chance we have recession this year.
Yeah, I think it's a little high for this year because the economy's got pretty solid momentum. But I put the odds at a recession this year at about 10%, which is below average because we've been in recession 15% of the time since World War II. Next year, though, I think that their risk go up to about 30%, and they'd probably go a little bit higher than that in 2021, just taking today's circumstances. Now, if we get a trade deal with China and things really cool off, and the global economy gets a little bit of a little bit of momentum behind it, I think those risks would go down very quickly, because that's where all the weakness is coming from.
Mark Vintner, senior economist at Wells Fargo. Again, thanks for being with us on this Jobs Friday. Again, taking a look at the markets ahead of the open and ahead of the jobs report. They are higher. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 30 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And a reminder to tune into the weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. We set you up for the week ahead on Wall Street. We do it at 5 in the morning Saturdays, 4 in the afternoon Saturdays, and Sunday mornings at 9 on Bloomberg Radio.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher ahead of the August jobs report. Economists surveyed by Bloomberg anticipate a gain of 160,000 jobs below the prior month's gain. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
So far this year, the American economy has added more than 1 million jobs, and there are still 7 million openings from coast to coast. So far, so good. One number that will probably warrant attention today is weekly working hours. Factory hours dropped in July to the lowest since 2011. Bloomberg Economics is also keeping an eye on aggregate income creation to gauge whether consumers will have the wherewithal to keep spending. Keep in mind, there are legions of gig and minimum wage workers out there, and some people have more than one job to make ends meet. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinnie, thank you. Today, Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell speaks on the economy in Zurich. You can catch it live on Bloomberg Radio and television beginning at 12:30 this afternoon, Wall Street time.
In Germany, industrial production unexpectedly declined further in July. Trade tensions and falling business confidence is hurting global demand.
More cuts are taking place at Deutsche Bank. Bloomberg's learned the German lender's firing dozens of traders and salespeople in its global fixed income ranks.
Shares of Lululemon rose 4% in extended trading. The company posted another quarter of brisk sales growth and raised its annual profit forecast yet again. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The maker of yoga wear continues to avoid weakness seen by other North American apparel retailers. Lulu's comp sales rose 17% on a constant currency basis. This is the seventh straight quarter where sales have been above 10%, a rare achievement in retail. E-commerce continues to underpin growth. Lulu's comp online sales climbed 31% on a constant currency basis. Now, in terms of earnings, Lulu now sees profit of $4.63 to $4.70 this year, despite earlier warnings of margin pressure due to the increased use of air freight. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. And this story crossing the Bloomberg, China's central bank said it will cut the amount of cash banks must hold as reserves. The required reserve ratio for all banks will be lowered by a half percentage point. That takes effect on September 16th. Right now, futures are higher with S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 98, NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany's up a third of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 1.59%. Yield on the two-year, 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $56.32 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.8% at $15.13.50 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to get a check of what else is happening in the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Hurricane Dorian has weakened somewhat to a Category 1 storm, but forecasters say the threat posed to the southeastern U.S. coasts continues. Dorian is currently east of Wilmington, North Carolina, and southwest of Cape Lookout, North Carolina. In the Bahamas, the death toll has climbed to 30 from Dorian, and many are missing. Bahamas Prime Minister Hubert Minnis says if not for the United States, the death toll expected to be bad would be even worse.
Even though our death numbers we expect to increase, had the United States not come in quickly, aggressively, and assist us with the situation, our death numbers would be even more than what would be the final count.
The United Nations estimates 70,000 people in the Bahamas are in immediate need of food, water, and shelter. Robert Mugabe, the longtime leader of Zimbabwe, who was forced to resign in 2017 after a military takeover, has died at 95. Mugabe was a former guerrilla chief who took power after the end of white minority rule in 1980. Mugabe had presided over a country whose early promise was eroded by economic turmoil, disputed elections, and human rights violations. The Trump administration is preparing to plan to strip California's authority to set tougher auto efficiency regulations than the federal government, even while agencies continue finalizing rollback of national standards. According to people familiar with the matter, it is still under consideration and no final decision has been made. Former Secretary of Defense James Mattis has just released a new memoir covering a wide range of subjects. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
One of them is his time in the Trump administration. He calls the book Call Sign Chaos and talks about his disagreements with the president.
When you have an election, it can be brutal. It can be pretty hard. I'm smart. You're dumb. I know what's right. You're all wrong. You divide and you try to get yourself elected. Okay, that's democracy. But when the election's over, you don't continue to divide. Then you have to govern.
Now, he also registers strong disagreement with George W. Bush, Barack Obama, and Joe Biden. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, a lot of excitement going to the first of 252 NFL regular season games. The league's 100th season kicked off in Chicago with original franchises, the Bears and Packers, and then they played a game without much excitement, certainly not much scoring, and only one touchdown.
Packers have it first and goal at the 8. Back to pass, Rodgers. He looks left. He looks right. He throws an arching spiral pass in the back part of the end zone. Caught! Leaping two-handed glove catch by the tight end, Graham. Double-teamed. Defenders draped on both shoulders. And Graham catches the 8-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers. And the Packers have taken the lead.
Good one to call. That was it. Green Bay got a field goal second half. Big interception late in the game. Won 10-3. Not a lot of production from Aaron Rodgers, but he will take the victory.
Mike Pettine and his staff, unbelievable job. It's fun to watch. I mean, that was an incredible performance. Really happy for Matt, his first win as a head coach. We'll get better. You know, it's a long season. That's a great defense, and we got to get a lot better on offense. But I'll say it again, we got a defense.
Matt LaFleur, the new Green Bay coach. Adam Gase now coaches the Jets. His first game Sunday at MetLife against Buffalo. The Giants open up in Dallas. Big NFL story yesterday, the Raiders slapping their new star wideout Antonio Brown with a one-game suspension, apparently getting into a fight with the team's general manager. U.S. Open, another easy one for Serena Williams, 6-3, 6-1 over Alina Svitolina. She hadn't dropped a set in her first five matches. In tomorrow's final, Serena goes for her 24th Grand Slam title. That would tie the all-time record. She'll face an opponent literally half her age, 19-year-old Canadian Bianca Andreescu. She won 7-6, 7-5 over Belinda Bencic. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the elements issue. Inside, you'll find a story from Jeremy Keene, who wrote about the man who created the periodic table that turns 150 this year.
And so he produced a table that showed the periodicity of the elements, so why carbon and silicon, for example, behave in certain ways, and they're vertically aligned on the table.
You can read more about this and other stories in the Elements edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Nate. The New York State Department of Health says severe and mysterious lung illnesses that have struck more than 200 people around the country may be tied to an ingredient in cannabis-containing vapor products. The state says in a statement that vitamin E acetate is now a key focus of the department's investigation of potential causes of vaping-associated pulmonary illnesses. New Jersey cutting the amount that some local governments will have to pay this year into the state pension fund in part because of investment gains. For the fiscal year that began July 1st, pension bills will decrease by 2.2% for local governments. Republican lawmakers and gun rights groups showing support for Remington Outdoor as the Supreme Court prepares to decide whether the gun maker can be held liable for the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting in Connecticut. A group of 10 GOP-led states, 22 members of Congress, and the NRA have filed briefs this week asking the court to side with the gun maker. And that is your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. Aviation CEOs are warning of a split between the U.S. and Europe over the Boeing 737 MAX.
Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about Nordstrom's plan to let New Yorkers return to its stores items they bought online from anywhere.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the obstacles to Boris Johnson's plans to stage an early election.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that a growing list of retailers, including Walgreens, is asking gun owners to leave their open carry firearms outside the store.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, the U.S. government's boldest step yet toward closing one of the final chapters of the 2008 financial crisis. The Trump administration has laid out its vision for releasing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac from more than a decade of federal control. The plan would shrink their dominant share of the mortgage market and create new competitors. And in the next 3 years, more than 120 million workers will be needed to be retrained because of the impact of artificial intelligence on jobs. That's according to a survey from IBM. Training will be longer than in the past. IBM says workers need an average 36 days of training to close a skills gap versus 3 days just 5 years ago. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, can Boris Johnson get his Brexit plans back on track? Does anyone trust him to deliver? Check in next with Bloomberg opinion columnist Therese Raphael in London.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Kara in Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are climbing along with stocks in Asia and Europe. This ahead of a jobs report in the U.S. and remarks by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 88, NASDAQ futures up 17, the DAX in Germany's up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.58%, yield on the 2-year 1.55%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 6 cents at $56.36 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $13.30 at $15.12.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1031 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2306, and the yen at 107.04. And the August jobs report is out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, officials in the Bahamas are continuing to search for survivors and clean up the devastation left behind by Hurricane Dorian. The death toll has climbed to 30 and hundreds remain missing. Dorian, now a Category 1 storm, is bashing the Carolinas. Robert Mugabe, who ruled Zimbabwe for 37 years and plunged the Southern African nation into political and economic chaos, has died at age 95. In the NFL season opener, the Packers beat the Bears 10-3. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Serena Williams is once again on the verge of her record-tying 24th Grand Slam title, Williams will face Canadian Bianca Andreescu in the women's final. In baseball, the Red Sox, Orioles, and Giants lost. The A's won. The Yankees and Mets were off. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, and it is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. Columnist Therese Raphael joins us from our London bureau as we continue to follow the saga that is Brexit. And Therese, it looks at this point as though UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson is moving ahead unbowed with this plan, at least for now, to try to call an early election. Will he get it?
Well, that's the big question. And I think the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn, is in talks this morning with other opposition leaders to try to agree a joint plan on an early election. Their main position is that they don't want to agree to an election and then find that Boris Johnson is able to use some mechanism to still take Britain out of the EU without a deal on October 31st, either by delaying the election or not requesting the extension as legislation that is now going through Parliament, but it went through the Commons, has now been in the House of Lords, requires. So this is the game now, whether an election is going to be held before October 31st, as Boris Johnson wants, and the opposition are very reluctant to give him what he wants, which is a very odd situation in Britain, where the opposition are usually, very keen to have an election.
Right, you would think they would be, but timing is everything in this case, and I guess the overarching question is, putting out the idea that the UK is going to leave the EU by October 31st without a deal, does that bring the European Union back to the table for negotiations? I mean, that is the big question underlying all this, isn't it?
Well, exactly. And if you listen to Boris Johnson in Parliament, he repeatedly said, we will get a deal, we will get the backstop, which is this very controversial provision that keeps the Irish border open but keeps Britain tied to the customs union. We'll get it scrapped. And he's been unequivocal about that. He said very categorically, we're going to get a deal. Now, if you look at the EU, they sort of look very puzzled at this because they say they haven't seen any proposals. The proposals they've seen are unworkable. The Irish are also saying that they don't see anything that can move. I think the next few days will be very important here, because Boris Johnson will be meeting next week with the Irish leader, and if there's any room to find a compromise, it's got to be something the Irish can agree to. So that will be something to watch. But there really is no sign that there's any common ground that would allow us to have any confidence in Boris Johnson's claim that a deal is imminent.
Is there a sign that Johnson has alternatives to the Irish backstop, or is he just sort of holding his cards close to his vest right now?
Well, look, this was a negotiation that went on for over 2 years. There were lots of alternatives that were considered. There were things like trusted trader schemes, exempting small businesses from customs charges, having checks away from the border. There have been a number of quite serious efforts to come up with an alternative. They all have been found wanting for one reason or another. Either the costs are too big, or they require too much trust, or politically, they would be very difficult to get through. So I don't think Johnson's going to come up with something dramatically new or innovative. It's a question of whether the political will to make one of these alternatives, which are clearly inferior to what exists now, to make one of these alternatives work, whether that exists. And I think we have to be quite doubtful, but he'd like to at least maintain the sense that there's an attempt at negotiation, not least because it helps keep moderate conservatives on board. And remember, he's just expelled 21 members of his own party. So he's really hardened the line of the Conservative Party. He's this call has alienated a lot of moderates, and now he will, you know, needs to show them that he's made an effort at compromise. And so I think part of what we're seeing here when he's promising a deal is that attempt to kind of keep this this coalition together, that you, well, coalition that used to be the Conservative Party, but is now becoming narrower and narrower.
Yeah, and I guess that brings us around to the overall or the basic question of, is there enough room for compromise to allow for that early election effort to go forward on Monday? Just quickly.
I think the Labour Party would like an election if they could be guaranteed that it could happen in a way that doesn't allow Boris Johnson to claim that he's delivering on his promises. So my suspicion is there would not be an election until after October 31st, after an extension has been requested, but it's very difficult to predict. So there may be one toward the end of October instead.
All right, Bloomberg opinion columnist Trez Raphael with us from London. Thank you. And you can read more at Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
A bill to ban California cities from giving a portion of their sales tax revenue to companies like Apple and Best Buy to entice them to locate in their boundaries has passed the state legislature. The Department of Education has fined Michigan State University a record $4.5 million for failing to properly respond to sexual misconduct complaints against convicted school doctor and former USA gymnastics physician Larry Nassar. And gig companies such as Lyft and TaskRabbit are joining forces with some business groups to fight changes to labor law they see as threats to their or their members' business models.
All right, Steve Podisk, thank you. Now, other legal news we're watching this morning. Even before his murder trial in January, New York real estate heir Robert Durst is attempting to hamstring prosecutors with claims that the case against him is tainted by corrupt ties between police and the creators of the 2015 HBO documentary that triggered his arrest. Bloomberg's Dune Grasso speaks to Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson for more on the story.
Lori, the judge said this was an issue of first impression. Will you please explain the arguments that Durst's lawyers made?
Well, this is the first time a judge has seen exactly this type of argument. Durst's lawyers are arguing that basically the producers of the show were working for the police and that they don't have a separate journalist privilege for being an independent journalist, and therefore that they should be able to give all of the research material and background and outtakes that the producers have. The producers are saying, no way, we didn't work for the police. We may have cooperated, but that doesn't mean we lose our news reporter privilege.
I've been involved in making documentaries about crimes and murder trials, and you often interview police or even get information that couldn't be presented at trial. But was the making of the jinx different from that? Did they go a little further?
Well, the defense is claiming, Durst's lawyer claiming, that this was all basically collaborative between the police and the producers, that the filmmakers, in order to make a winning documentary or movie, needed the police's cooperation, and the police were relying on them to get information that they could use in the investigation and prosecution.
Judge Mark Windham yesterday said that Durst had not shown that the production company became so entangled with L.A. law enforcement that they should be treated like government agents. But can they still use that theory at trial to challenge evidence like the letter that the filmmakers found from Durst to Berman?
I don't think that they'll be able to use it to challenge the admissibility of the evidence like the letter. What they will be able to use it is in cross-examining anybody who takes the stand to see what their relationship was with the filmmakers and what their motive was and whether they might have actually taken things out of control or even created evidence in order to promote both the film and the police effort.
And that was Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson speaking with Bloomberg's Dune Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Right now, S&P futures are higher, up 7 points. Dow futures up 76 and NASDAQ futures up 10. The 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.58%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Newburyport 92.9 HD2.